Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Again, a reminder about some live coverage coming up. If Hiram Monserrat holds his news conference later this hour as scheduled, we will carry at least some of that and talk about what it means if he's going back with the Democrats in Albany. That would make a 31-31 tie. So that doesn't tell us who would actually control the state Senate and when they could get back to work and do their business. And at 12:15 this afternoon on our website, we will have live coverage of President Obama's speech on health reform to the AMA. That's at 12:15 on WNYC.org. Right now, Jonathan Tessini is here. As other Democrats are dropping out of a primary race or a potential primary race against Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, Tessini is dropping in. He officially announced his candidacy on Thursday. Some of you may remember he challenged Hillary Clinton in a U.S. Senate primary here in New York in 2006. Tessini also has a moment of personal history with Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor. He was a plaintiff in her courtroom representing freelancers against the New York Times. So we'll tell that story. Jonathan Tessini, welcome back to WNYC.
It's a pleasure to drop back in.
Can we do the Sotomayor story first? Why were you suing the New York Times and when?
We filed the suit in 1993, basically the New York Times and every major publisher. They were stealing writers' works, putting them on electronic databases, CD-ROMs, things that we now assume are normal things but were new, relatively speaking, and not paying writers and not asking for permission. And Sonia Sotomayor ruled against us in the district court. We won in the Court of Appeals, and we ultimately won in the United States Supreme Court in 2001.
Sotomayor, was she the sole judge hearing the case?
Yes, she was the district judge, and she was the sole person. I want to quickly say, because so there's no misunderstanding, I am not saying that she is not fit and eminently qualified to be in the United States Supreme Court.
So you think she's eminently qualified to be in the United States
Supreme Court? And will be a good justice.
But do we learn anything from your case about Sotomayor's judicial leanings when it comes to labor and business? Was that a pro-business decision that wound up being overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court, as opposed to pro-labor, that indicates any larger thinking?
Look, I would be the first one to want to jump to that conclusion, as you know. But in fairness, while I disagreed with her ruling, it was a very novel case at the time. It was a novel case in terms of copyright, what would happen in the electronic age. So you could jump to that conclusion. In fairness, I just think she was struggling with that, and she ruled one way. We disagreed. We ultimately won, which is, of course, another reason I don't feel too badly about it.
Right. Well, even if she was struggling with the case and found it a close call, then that says something about her judicial temperament, maybe looking at both sides of an issue. Did you have much of an impression of her at the time? Did you think, and again, we're talking about 1993, so it's a long time ago, but did you think, wow, this person is the real deal and could go all the way?
I don't know about what would
all
be considered
the way
all
to the
way.
Supreme Court.
Who knows at that point? I hadn't even, didn't never cross my mind. Obviously, extremely smart, very well prepared, ruled not the way I would want to, but obviously, I personally, if you ask my opinion, since I've been asked, I think she will be a fabulous Supreme Court justice.
By the way, what's the status of freelance work at the New York Times today?
Well, now, since the ruling, not just for writers but graphic artists, the publishers, the big media companies effectively impose all rights contracts and seize away all rights for all material now known or hereafter invented in any technology, which is an outrage. And that's really in some way a good transition perhaps to what we're talking about generally in the race, which is it's all about power and it's all about the need to have strong unions.
And of course, that case was so much earlier in the history of newspaper websites. Now they're sometimes more important than the print edition. And I guess the pay practices are changing with that.
True. And people are almost essentially asking to have to work for free. And in some way, like writers, all Americans, if you look back over the last 30 years where productivity has been soaring and wages have been flat, essentially we've been robbed. And it's not just writers. It's all workers have been robbed in this country. They should be getting more and they've been robbed.
Jonathan Tessini, my guest on WNYC, and okay, you have announced your candidacy against Senator Kirsten Gillibrand in a Democratic primary, which would take place in September of next year. Why are you running?
I think there are three reasons that I'm running. One is I don't believe Democratic primary voters support or want to have a senator who is allied with the National Rifle Association, who aggressively lobbied for big tobacco and took money from tobacco companies, who was quite anti-immigrant in 2006. I ran in 2006, as you point out, and so I crossed paths in Kirsten Gillibrand's district, and she circulates some very awful anti-immigrant flyers. She's been allied with Al D'Amato, one of the, you know, perhaps one of the most corrupt and ethically challenged senators in the history of the Senate, which is saying a lot. I don't think primary voters in New York want to have that person representing them as their senator. Number two, we should have a choice in this primary. As you well know, Democratic Party insiders are trying to block choices, force people out of the race. We just today, and I'm announcing this on your program, we unveiled a new website affiliated with our campaign called OpenDebateNewYork.org. That's OpenDebateNewYork.org. The point is to get people organized and outraged that party insiders are trying to push people out of the race. The third point, and this is the big reason I'm in this race, our country's in a crisis, one of the biggest crises of my lifetime, particularly the economic crisis. And I believe that people are outraged and want deep, deep change in the economic system. We have a chance. Both people are afraid and scared, but at the same time, their ears are open more than I've ever seen in my lifetime. People are outraged that they've been robbed, not just in the last year or two, but over the last 30 years. They've worked hard, and they've not gotten the benefits for that. I think people want deep change. And since you have been talking about Albany, this is all related. The corruption Albany, the people who really don't care what happens to the average person. I was at a press conference for Domestic Workers United on Friday. This is a bill that is absolutely crucial to pass in the state legislature. It would protect 200,000 domestic workers who make this city run. And yet, because of this nonsense in Albany, that bill is not going forward.
We did a substantial segment on that bill with four guests on Thursday. And then we noticed that the New York Times editorial page endorsed it yesterday, so that domestic workers, that is nannies and housekeepers and such, can be brought under the wage and hour laws and other standard labor practices. So if they work over 40 hours, for example, they would have to get overtime. That's one of the bills hanging in the balance, waiting for the state Senate to get back to work. We can take some phone calls for Jonathan Tessini, 212-433-WNYC. Your thoughts on the job that Kirsten Gillibrand is doing? We interviewed her last week on the show. Maybe you heard that. Maybe following her otherwise. Are you ready to have somebody in there challenging her, or do you want the Democratic Party just to unify so a Republican doesn't win if you're a Democrat? 212-433-WNYC or any of the issues that Jonathan Tessini is raising, you can comment or question on at 212-433-9692. And our producers who turn on a dime have already posted a link to OpenDebateNewYork.org, the site that Jonathan just announced. On our page at WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, which is not an endorsement, as we don't do that kind of thing. But this is our guest, and that's his website. Do you want a debate? He never got a debate with Hillary Clinton. Do you think Jonathan Tessini, even if he's considered by many to be relatively fringy, should get to debate Kirsten Gillibrand next year? And I know you want to comment on that reference, but you said Hillary Clinton in 2006 was too conservative for New York. You got some votes, but it was considered a protest candidacy, not a serious challenge. Is this a protest candidacy to raise the issues?
No, I can win this race. I'm absolutely convinced of that. There's a big difference between 2006 and 2008. Number one, with all my differences...
Or 10, as the case may be.
2010, good point. With all my differences with then Hillary Clinton, she was elected by the voters in 2000. The current occupant of the seat, the caretaker senator, has never faced the voters. She was, in my opinion, undemocratically, because I don't believe in appointees, selected by one person, one vote. The voters should have a right to decide who they want to represent them in the Senate. She has never faced the voters, and I believe, and I think polls show it, that she will be defeated in the primary. I will make a prediction in 2010, if there is a primary, Kirsten Gillibrand will not be the United States Senator going to the general election. It might be somebody else besides me. There might be other people in the race. And that is in some way why we our own website is jonathantessini.com. But we're about democracy primarily. And the reason we opened up this website, opendebatenewyork.org, is to encourage other people to get into the race. Steve Israel, who was a respected member of Congress, had every right to run, was pushed out of the race by party insiders. I think that was an outrage. I want to encourage other Democrats to get in the race. Let's have a contest about our ideas. Kirsten Gillibrand should not be afraid about putting her ideas before the voters. Let's have a contest about these ideas. I do believe we can win because a lot has changed. The crisis that people face, particularly in the economy, that was not as much the case in 2006. It wasn't as apparent to people. It's something I've worked my entire adult life on for the last 25, 30 years. I believe people are ready for a dramatic change, and they don't want the party insiders to be dictating.
Sue Young in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Thanks for calling us. Sue Young, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Brian. My comment is that I'm glad that he's running because I don't think, the Democratic Party bosses should be dictating to us who should be running or not, including, and I don't want to bash Obama, but I don't think the decision should be made in the White House about should be in this U.S. Senate from New York.
And should be among the people who make that decision. You're saying, Sue Young, thank you very much. And for people who don't know why Obama is brought into this, other Democrats, elected official Democrats, who first said they might challenge Gillibrand, are backing off. Congress members Carolyn McCarthy and Steve Israel and Manhattan Borough President Scott Stringer and President Obama himself apparently intervened with Congressman Israel from Long Island and asked him not to challenge Gillibrand. Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney may yet run. So why do you think the more prominent Democrats are dropping like flies, Jonathan?
Well, you'll have to ask them. I can only speculate that people feel very concerned about their position and their ranking in the party. You know, it's hard to face that kind of pressure. I don't feel the same pressure. I've been a movement person my entire adult life, 25, 30 years, and I believe that this country is at this critical moment where we have a chance to change the direction of the country, and we cannot let party insiders dictate the kind of debate we need to have.
And why do you think President Obama himself would lean on a congressman from Long Island not to run in a primary in New York State? Does he not want open debate?
Well, look, what I would say about this is I'm a huge fan of Barack Obama's, although I am running to push him in an even more progressive direction. I supported his election, but I think we need to push the president in a much more progressive direction. And what's ironic about this is that had the party establishment cleared the field, as they say, in 2008, Barack Obama would not be president of the United States because the party machinery then was run by Hillary Clinton and her coterie. And yet Barack Obama said, no, I believe we have to have a vigorous contest in the primaries. Let the voters decide. It might be that in the primary they decide not to choose me. That's fine, but there should be a debate.
Joseph in Harlem, you're on WNYC with Jonathan Cini. Hi, Joseph.
Hello, Brian. How are you?
Okay.
I wanted to call and give my wholehearted support to this candidacy, and for the first time in lo these many months that I am finally reassured in New York State politics, particularly Mr. Tessini's statements on workers' rights, which is frankly something that isn't really discussed anymore in politics, let alone nationwide politics. Listening to Ms. Gillibrand last Tuesday on your show, accompanied with an article in the New York Magazine, which some of you might have caught, she is woefully inexperienced, and frankly, I just don't want her representing myself and the rest of New York State in Washington. So I fully support Mr. Tessini and hope to get the vote for you.
Joseph, thank you for your call, and I'm sure Jonathan Tessini thanks you for your call. But let me follow up on that. Gillibrand is changing her positions from those that reflected a conservative upstate district to those more in line with all New Yorkers. She's now for, you talked about the anti-immigrant stuff, she's now for a path to citizenship for illegal immigrants and for the DREAM Act to allow children who are brought here as illegal immigrants to become citizens when they grow up. She's taken new gun control positions that seem sure to threaten her 100% rating from the NRA, and she's come out for gay marriage. So maybe by primary day next year, you won't actually have many differences on the issues.
And is that the kind of senator we want? Someone we actually don't know has any principles or real core beliefs? I mean, it's one thing to evolve. It's another thing to whip around 180 degrees. Now, here's the issue. It's about what your basic principles are in life. I would never, never support the National Rifle Association, no matter what it costs me in terms of votes. I would never circulate leaflets targeting immigrants to get elected. Ambition has, there has to be a line drawn about political ambition. And if you look at her record, it was all about her personal ambition. I'm going to support the National Rifle Association to get votes. I'm going to take money from Big Tobacco, and I'm going to circulate flyers that target immigrants. And now all of a sudden, in order to get elected, she's changing positions. How do we know what her morals and her principles are going to be in 2 years from now, should she be elected? I think whether people agree with me or not, over the course of my lifetime, what I've done, they know that I am who I am and that my principles have been solid and have been the same for 25 and 30 years, and I'm proud of that.
Michael in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
I'm a lifelong Democrat. I always vote the part, whoever's for the party. If Kristen Gillibrand is the nominee, I won't vote for her. And I have no intention of ever voting again for Patterson, for appointing her. I don't want someone with such a right-wing, unprincipled history representing me in the Senate. I hope Tazzini, I'm applaud Tazzini for getting into the race, and I hope that his actions bring more mainstream Democrats into the race, and I specifically hope Carolyn Maloney, who's a great congresswoman, gets into the race. She hasn't declared yet. I assume she's under the same amount of pressure that Steve Israel received, but she has been a fighter for New York for a number of years. She's been a great leader, an advocate for women's issues, for gay issues, for immigrants' issues, and for economic development issues.
And, Michael, just let me follow up on one thing there. You said you wouldn't vote for Senator Gillibrand for reelection. So let's say she is renominated and she's running against, oh, some of the names that are floated include George Pataki, Rudy Giuliani.
I'll vote the Independence Party. I'll vote the Green Party. I'll vote anyone but Senator Gillibrand. And that also goes for Governor Patterson.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. We're just about out of time. Jonathan Sini, 30 seconds.
Yeah, well, let me say, opendebatenewyork.org. The previous caller mentioned Carolyn Maloney, a great legislator. We're about democracy. We want to make sure there's pressure to have an open primary so voters have the choice. So I urge people to go to opendebatenewyork.org, pass the link around. Let's mobilize New Yorkers so that we don't let the party insiders define who our candidate's going to be.
Jonathan Sini, thank you for coming in. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come. Stay with us. And don't forget that at 12:15 this afternoon on our website, we will have live coverage of President Obama's speech on health care reform to the AMA in Chicago. That's 12:15 on WNYC.org.